Well, if you're watching this show live, you might be asking yourself, what the heck is Cyrus Sautz doing at 5:07 p.m. on a Friday afternoon hosting a live episode of Locked On Warriors when less than 2 hours from now, they're going to play the Raptors at home. Kylan Mills and I are going to be doing a post-game show, but there has not been enough time this week to address a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation, and a lot of reports pertaining to the Golden State Warriors. Is Joe Lacob too hands-on now? Are the Warriors going to make a trade? There are some names and some reports out there linking the Warriors to a few different teams. That's why I'm on, folks. Even though this is a live episode, it's Friday afternoon, late afternoon. We'll be doing this again post-game with Kylan Mills. But for now, let's talk about all the nitty-gritty. Trades. Front offices. Is Joe Lacob going to leave? All that and more coming up next. Is Bob Myers going to leave? Is that what I said? It's a little harder when I'm solo. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNBA. You can follow me, Cyrus Sautz, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow, where I just had to block a schmuck because he had to bring up some dumb things I said a few months back. Folks, yes, I'm a human being. I've said things rarely, but I've said things that, you know, one time I had to apologize for. If you're going to bring that up to me on Twitter, I'm going to block your ass quicker than a Brandon Ayuk slant route. All right. Was that analogy fair? Anyway, so look, let's talk Warriors here. I'm going to try to follow these chat questions as closely as possible, simply because I love to get your opinions on this. And Andre, you bring up, for example, Bob Myers, and that's a subject I think we should start on. Andre writes, Bob Myers isn't going anywhere. He's gonna get paid. Well, not according to a few reporters who cover the Golden State Warriors for The Athletic. And I'm referring to Anthony Slater, someone who has certainly earned credibility covering the Golden State Warriors. Marcus Thompson, who I respect tremendously when it comes to his connection to Stephen Curry, and Sam Amick, who also writes, I believe, for USA Today. He also involved himself in a three-byline story covering what's going on behind the scenes with the Golden State Warriors. And I've been telling you on this show for months that the moment I learned that Bob Myers was on the final year of his deal, all right, I started reaching out. I started putting feelers out there because what I needed to know is whether or not this is normal. Okay, whether or not high-profile general managers, high-profile individuals like Bob Myers, who is largely responsible for one of the most successful dynasties in NBA history, is it normal for Bob Myers to be on the final year of his contract and not signed? And everyone I spoke to said, hell no, that is not normal. Joe Lacob then came out a month and a half ago. I think he was on Tim Kawakami's podcast, and he said that he made two offers to Bob Myers to extend his contract, and Bob Myers turned him down. So then this story comes out this week, and this is one of many reasons why I'm hosting this special bonus episode today, where sources told Anthony Slater, sources told Marcus Thompson and Sam Amick, when asked whether or not Bob Myers' days with the Warriors are about to run out, I'm going to read possibly the most important part of the story, verbatim. Quote, Golden State's two-timeline plan is one of the reasons Myers' future appears to be in question. While the window to win championships with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green winds down, Warriors owner Joe Lacob has doubled and tripled down on his preference to simultaneously win with those stars while developing the future of the franchise rather than going all in on winning championships the next few seasons. Sources say Lacob is more involved than ever in the day-to-day personnel choices, The Athletic reported. He studies the draft, attends workouts, and crafts big boards. He played an influential role in the franchise's choice to use its five recent picks on upside teenagers instead of rerouting some of that capital into older and reliable help to maximize the present. Curry, who is under contract for the 2025-2026 NBA season, reportedly has become increasingly vocal about his win now perspective as Golden State has limped to a 23-24 start to their championship repeat effort. Side note, they're now 24-24. Thompson is set to be an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 2024, although it's likely he'll be a lifelong Warrior. Green could decline his player option for next season and hit the open market this upcoming summer. And that blurb was courtesy of Tom Dierberger with NBC Sports Bay Area, but it said a lot, all right? There was a lot of information there. For starters, you could see Marcus Thompson's role in the story because if he brings any value, and he brings a lot, clearly, it's his connection with Stephen Curry. His source is Steph. He's close with Steph. So the part of the story where Steph is complaining about the current roster construction, that's Marcus Thompson reporting this. And then who knows where Sam and Anthony Slater's roles in this story come in. But the bottom line is what the story indicates, and these are reputable reporters writing this piece, is that Joe Lacob has become very hands-on, and Joe Lacob is becoming increasingly vocal. His son, Kirk Lacob, I don't know if Kirk is what his official title is. I'll look it up real quick here. But Kirk Lacob, who, on a side note, I do need to add, did play college basketball, or at least came close to playing for the Stanford Cardinal. And Kirk Lacob, son of Joe Lacob, his title with the Golden State Warriors is Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. And there's a lot of speculation that Joe maybe wants his son to kind of take over as a GM someday. But what this story told me, first and foremost, because I've been reporting on this show for months, that there is a proxy war going behind the scenes. Clearly, Steve Kerr is not happy with this roster construction. The mystery in all this has been, what was Bob Myers' role? Is Bob Myers on Joe Lacob's side and wanting these young players to have a bigger role in just their second and third seasons? Is Bob Myers on Steve Kerr's side, where he's in a helpless position, where he probably maybe wants to help Kerr, but Joe Lacob doesn't want to spend the money? What this story tells me is that Bob Myers is likely on Steve Kerr's side of things, and that Joe Lacob is heavily influencing personnel decisions with the Golden State Warriors. Whether that's right or wrong is up to opinion. That's a very subjective concept, you know. You could look at the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones being heavily involved. You could look at Jerry Buss, Dr. Jerry Buss with the LA Lakers, rest in peace, who was relatively hands-on, although he did let his GMs make decisions. You could look at the 49ers when Eddie D was in charge. But again, Eddie D still deferred to his quote-unquote experts for these personnel decisions. But, you know, Andre, and you wrote this right here, which is very fair, even with the expletive. Andre writes, Kerr not playing the young guys is a F you to Lacob's plan, and he's going to blow it up. And so that's what this comes down to, is Joe Lacob believes in his three lottery picks. Steve Kerr does not. Moses Moody was just optioned to Santa Cruz, which tells me that Steve Kerr is not comfortable with Moody playing in this current system, despite the fact that statistically he's improved in every category. I don't agree with the opinion that he hurts the team defensively. I do not see that with my eyes, even though a lot of people say they do. CJ Holmes, beat reporter, covering the Golden State Warriors for the San Francisco Chronicle, was on this show earlier this week, and he brought up all the clutch stats for Moses Moody. Clutch referring to the final 5 minutes of a game, and they're exemplary. When it comes to measurables, you can't diss Moses Moody. He's not doing a bad job, but Steve Kerr is not happy with him. Steve Kerr would prefer Anthony Lamb. Steve Kerr would prefer Ty Jerome. The minutes prove that. And so there is a conflict there. There's a difference there. Steve Kerr does like Jonathan Kuminga, thank goodness, even though he wasn't on board at the beginning of the season. But Kuminga's getting minutes. You can see Kuminga's massive impact on this team in a positive regard. So they are on the same page there. And then there's the James Wiseman piece of this. And I'm going to play a soundbite when we come back from Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr was on with Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto earlier this week. He has, I think, like a weekly or biweekly a deal to come on their show as a guest. I envy my friend Damon Bruce for having that luxury to talk to Steve like that anytime he wants. And the topic of Wiseman was brought up, and I need to play that soundbite because I feel like Steve Kerr had a bit of a Freudian slip in there. And I'm going to explain what I mean in just a minute. After I talk first about one of our sponsors, one of our many sponsors that I got to give a lot of love to, and that is LinkedIn, and more specifically, LinkedIn Jobs. Look, the economy right now could be in trouble, all right? I just found that I'm losing like a lot of money because enrollments at universities are reaching historic lows. And I just had two classes of mine canceled at San Jose State University. That is my livelihood. I'm freaking out. I'm being honest right here, fully, folks. And I'm sensing in a lot of ways that there might be a recession coming. And that's why resources like LinkedIn and LinkedIn Jobs is so vitally important. Because if you're looking for work, LinkedIn is where all the headhunters are. It's where all the open positions are. I'm definitely going to be back on there very soon. And if you're a small business owner, it's the best place by a long shot to find talent. There's 875 million people using LinkedIn. That's how many member profiles there are on the platform. It's huge. You can identify the most qualified candidates. You can connect with them simply by going to LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen today. After us, go check out Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Let's see what's going on in the chat. If anybody added anything new. I don't know, Rick B, what you're referring to with this quote here, but you wrote, "A billionaire can't afford it." And yes, I'm never going to sympathize with Lacob and company when it comes to them saying they can't afford it, because that is a line that if they ever use is a blatant lie. All right. This is an ownership group right now that is interested in either purchasing a Major League Baseball team, and I'm referring to the Angels, or purchasing an expansion WNBA team and bringing it to the Bay Area. Those aren't cheap things to do. All right. You got to be at the top of the pecking order of wealth if you want to buy a baseball team or buy an expansion WNBA team. So whatever that was in reference to, a billionaire can easily afford it. So here's what I want to do right now is I want to play the soundbite. And again, this was Steve Kerr. He was on with Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto. They have a segment each week or every other week. I can't remember how often Steve Kerr comes on their show, but kudos to my friend Damon Bruce for asking the difficult question of what the deal is with James Wiseman. And, you know, he gets DNP'd routinely. We never see him. He missed almost a month for what we thought was a minor ankle injury. And Steve thankfully answered it. And he seemed very honest, almost perhaps maybe too honest for his own taste. I'll explain what I mean in just a minute. But here's Steve Kerr answering the question of James Wiseman and what the deal is.
Do you owe it to James Wiseman to either start playing him or trade him?
I think that's a fair question. You know, one of the things that I tell James from time to time is I feel bad for him because of the circumstances. He's had a tough go with the injuries. The injuries have definitely set him back. But bottom line is he's a really talented young guy playing on a veteran team. So he's in a situation where he's not getting as many reps and as much playing time as he would in a different set of circumstances. You know, had he been drafted by a different team, he'd be getting more opportunities for sure. And that's part of his story. That's part of his journey. And what I love about James is he understands that and recognizes it and continues to keep a positive spirit and energy. And he works hard every single day, and he's wonderful to coach. So, as I've said many times, I'm a huge fan. And however this plays out, we don't know, but I hope I get to continue to coach him, and I hope that he can develop here and get more opportunities as we go forward.
And Bruce Morrow writes, Wiseman is gone. I can see Vucevic and Caruso end up with the Warriors. I'm with you. I don't know if Kerr intended to say one part in there, which really stuck out to me. And I'm sure you folks heard it or saw it as well, depending on if you're listening to this on the podcast or watching the show. He said, however this plays out, we don't know. That is about as far away of a vote of confidence for players I have ever heard. What I hear when Steve Kerr said that is, we're probably going to move this guy, but you never know. And this leads to the Alex Caruso part of this, right? And Alex Caruso, I've heard some people say he's like Dante DiVincenzo, and so it's a little redundant to add an Alex Caruso. I don't agree with that. I think if Alex Caruso is on this team, the Warriors are a lock to win the world title. I really do. I mean, you got to look at it this way. They're not playing Wiseman anyways. Steve Kerr has moved on from playing bigs, like traditional bigs. It's just not his style. He doesn't like them. And how can you argue with them? They won a world title last year without one. And when you look at the four teams in the conference finals in both sides, none of them had a dominant big. Bam Adebayo was the closest to it, and he stands 6'9", right? He's much more of a modern big than a traditional big. If Alex Caruso joins this team, and see David Tapia right there writes this as well, that Caruso conflicts with Dante. I don't agree with that, and I'll tell you why. There, even though Dante DiVincenzo is 6'4", Caruso 6'5", they play very different styles of basketball. Dante DiVincenzo is much more of a point guard who can also score, and he also plays outstanding defense. Alex Caruso is not a point guard type of player. He's not a someone that you want handling the rock for most of the game. He's not someone who's ball dominant. He's not someone who needs the ball offensively. So when Alex Caruso's out there, he would much prefer to defer to the scores of the team than try and make something happen himself. That's just his style of play. So I don't see the comparison between DiVincenzo and Caruso, other than the fact that they're two white guys who have, you know, buzz cuts or shaved heads. That's to me the extent of the comparison. You can play both those players on the court. And Andre, if you ask where would Caruso fit in, he's going to fit in sometimes as a small forward. He would fit in sometimes as a power forward, but really his role is Gary Payton II. He would be someone who would come in there and add a lot of defense that this team desperately needs. The bottom line with the Warriors is this: their biggest issue this year by far is defense. Their defense is abysmal this year. It's routinely, when it comes to points given up, they've been in the bottom five of the NBA. And if I'm going to look it up in just a moment here, just to see where they are as we speak before they play the Toronto Raptors tonight. But the Warriors' defense is awful. Their offense, I'm sorry, did I say that right? The Warriors' defense is awful. Okay, one more time. The Warriors' defense is awful. So the Warriors adding a defensive stalwart like Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso is that good of a defensive player. You're going to see a drastically improved defensive team. And that's what you need. That's what the Warriors need. The Warriors right now are 27th out of 30 teams in the NBA in terms of points given up. That's atrocious. And championship teams don't give up that amount of points. They need help defensively. Offensively, the Warriors are tied for second in the NBA in points scored. Points don't matter. Okay, so what Alex Caruso is going to give you is someone that takes a lot of pressure away from Clay, from Wiggins, from DiVincenzo, from all the people that are routinely and Kuminga as well, who are routinely given the assignment of guarding the most offensively talented player on the other side, Caruso easily wipes those worries away. Alex Caruso would be awesome on this team. He's also not a negative offensively, right? He doesn't ask for the ball, but if he gets the ball, he's a sound three-point shooter. In fact, I'll look up his stats right now real quick just to let people know how he's doing offensively on the season. But he's not a liability is what I'm trying to say. So Alex Caruso right now this year is a 38.7% three-point shooter. He's averaging 5.5 points per game in 24.6 minutes because, again, he doesn't need the rock, all right? And what this Warriors team does need is someone that doesn't want the ball that much and who really would be fine focused playing defensive basketball. And so, and then the Alex Caruso rumor in regards to him being linked to the Golden State Warriors was reported today by let me see who this individual, Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago. And this isn't the first time he's connected the Warriors to Alex Caruso. This is actually his second report indicating that the Warriors are interested. And the reason why there's a lot of probability here is simply because the Chicago Bulls see Vucevic as a player that either they're probably going to have to buy out or just flat out give up on when he leaves as a free agent this offseason. And Wiseman is very tantalizing. Now, would I like a second player coming back in that trade? Vucevic, I don't know, simply because defensively he's such a liability. I much would prefer Pat Williams, who was drafted the same year as James Wiseman, who plays power forward. So if you can get a second player back, great. But if not, Alex Caruso would be amazing. He would fill a massive hole in this team. And there is a strong possibility of that. So I don't know. And Bruce Morrow writes, I'm against trading Moody. I'm with you. I am apparently the minority now, a Moses Moody apologist, because I believe in him. I really think he could be a solid player in this game someday. Could be now even. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens with that trade. I hope it happens because the Warriors do need reinforcements. And if you're only going to be giving up Wiseman among your three lottery picks, I think that's fair. Caruso's not that old either. He's under contract until the end of next season. And then I think he has a player option after that. He's 28 years old right now. He turns 29, so he's not old. So we'll see what happens with that. When we come back, I'll touch on just a few more trade rumors. Another available player that's out there. A couple more available players out there. First, have to give some love to our new main official sponsor, and that is FanDuel. I mean, you know, you made it big when we got FanDuel. I'm hoping my paychecks reflect that. But nonetheless, folks, this weekend, Sunday, is the NFC Championship. Niners, Eagles. I can't wait to see what Brock Purdy does. The line right now, courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook, is the Eagles favored by 2.5. What a bet. I'm taking the Niners all day, every day in that. I love that extra half that they gave to the Niners folks. And so look, and the AFC Championships here as well. You could bet on basketball, of course, but they're hyping up the NFL playoffs right now. And again, we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, and that's FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy, including an awesome promotion for new customers, where if you join today, you get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn, and it's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans and just sports fans in general, don't miss out. Place your first $5, your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever You get podcasts. Prithik writes, did we meet at the Warriors game Wednesday night, by the way? I got to give Raymond Ritter and everyone credit again for spoiling me rotten. My friend that I took, her kid's friend, they had the time of their lives. So thank you, Raymond, and to everyone at the Warriors. And Prithik, I don't know if that was you I met at the game. It might have been. But you propose on the chat here, because we're doing a live show. This is a special bonus show. We're going to do another show tonight, immediately following the Warriors and the Raptors with Kylan Mills. The sun is setting. I've not turned lights on in here, so I got to wrap it up before it gets dark. But Prathik writes, Moody and Wiseman for Williams and Caruso. Yeah, I'd be down for that. I wouldn't complain for that. I really like Patrick Williams. So if he comes in the package, I'm all for that. Good. Okay, so that was you that I saw. I ran into a Prathik at the Warriors store. That place is madness, by the way, at halftime. If you're going to go buy jerseys or anything from there, don't go at halftime. It's an absolute S-bomb show. But great to meet you, Prathik. That was awesome. So there's a couple other players out there, right? We've talked about this on the show, but I'll mention it again, that Serge Ibaka, he's a 14-year veteran, but I still think he has some juice left in the tank. I've heard other people say otherwise. And when I say other people, I mean on Twitter. I haven't really heard experts say that. But I would not mind Serge Ibaka coming to the Warriors, whether it's as a buyout. I certainly think that's what the Warriors prefer. But even if it's for Jermichael Green, so be it. Whatever the cost is, within reason. I don't know if you want to give up a lottery pick for Serge Ibaka, but if it's something like Jermichael Green, and a future couple second round picks, whatever it is, make that happen. Serge Ibaka is lights out when it comes to that corner three. So offensively, he gives you that. And he also gives you so much toughness in the interior. You know, he is a modern center at 6'9". And I don't know if you ever saw his YouTube show when Clay and Steph were on there. So he's got a connection with the Warriors. I would not mind that. Shams Charania reported that. And then one deal that apparently doesn't look like it's going to happen, despite the fact that LJ Ellis of Spurs Talk reported this, that the Warriors were interested in Jakob Poeltl, but that the Spurs have no interest in James Wiseman or Jonathan Kuminga. Now, if the Warriors are offering Jonathan Kuminga for Jakob Poeltl, I do not support that. But according to LJ Ellis, Kuminga was on the table and the Spurs said no to that. Who knows how much truth there is there. LJ Ellis also writes to the Spurs, their asking price for Jakob Poeltl is 2 future first round picks unprotected. That is outrageous. One player that played for the Warriors, he played for him during training camp. He was a summer training camp invitee, which I would not have minded him on the team. I still would not mind him on the team. He is a beast inside. If you want defense, if you want rebounding, Kenneth Faried is cheap. He's currently playing, I believe, for the Mexico City G League team. But he's looking to make a return to the NBA. And he knows the Warriors system, even if it's briefly, from that summer camp, from that summer training camp invite. I wouldn't mind him. Okay. Like, if he's even just a fraction of his former self, he was a beast. His nickname was the Manimal for good reason. So that's another name that's been out there floated around. At least someone who wants to play and who might be a fit. But Alex Caruso seems like the most logical choice if there's going to be a deal here. Let me see before I go, any names in the chat. Andre writes, strip club Wiggins is suited up. And I'm guessing you're writing, you got this, because again, we're recording this live. It's 5:30 and change right now on a Friday before the Warriors-Raptors game. You write, Andrew Wiggins will warm up pregame in an attempt to return tonight for the Warriors against the Raptors. Missed last game with a non-COVID illness. Let's just hope Wiggins comes back in terms of his old form. We have not seen that yet. It was incredibly encouraging. I already said this on the show with Kevin Dan. I'll say it again. It was so encouraging to see Steve Kerr start Jonathan Kuminga and to see Kuminga be aggressive defensively. He was assigned to Ja Morant for a lot of that game, and he held his own. I absolutely love Jonathan Kuminga. My Jonathan Kuminga stock is soaring. I am stoked about him just being a part of this team. And let me see if there's anything else in the chat before we go. I don't know. Has he been busted going to strip clubs? Is that what the strip club reference is? I honestly do not know. But that is funny nonetheless. Bruce Morrow, no Jay Crowder rumors. That is an absolute S-bomb show, what's going on in Phoenix right now. I understand, like, arguments based on principle, right? Like, Jay Crowder signed a contract. So if you're arguing for him, you know, fulfilling his commitment to the Suns, yeah, on principle, you're right. But let's live in reality here as well, okay? Like, pragmatism is also important. And the Phoenix Suns right now are absolutely pooping the bed by keeping Jay Crowder. Why are you keeping him? It benefits no one to have a player of his magnitude just sit there waiting to get traded. The Suns aren't benefiting from it. Jay Crowder isn't benefiting from it. So you're just going to keep him there out of principle? Like, that's just absurd. It makes no sense. It doesn't help anyone. I think Jay Crowder would be absolutely exceptional for the Golden State Warriors. You also have to wonder if the Suns would even trade with the Warriors, though. That's a part of it that always has made me kind of wonder about those trade rumors. But yeah, but I would love Jay Crowder. But so Andre writes that Wiggins goes to strip clubs with rappers and gets COVID. You got to post a link for that. I've not, maybe I'll Google it. I've not heard that rumor at all. But anyways, I hope I covered all the bases. I just had to touch on the front office stuff. Yes, folks, we've been saying it on this show for months, and that's why hopefully you tune into Locked On Warriors. We got that inside info. We don't miss on our takes here, folks. And we've been telling you for months, there has been a proxy war going on. There has been something sus going on with the Warriors for a while. And now it's slowly starting to come out into the open that indeed Joe Lacob is heavily involved in personnel decisions. And my personal opinion is, at least with Kuminga and Moody, I'm all for it. I like when this plan was unveiled last year, and the plan was unveiled basically by the Warriors deciding we're not going to keep any of our veterans. Like, they're all gone. I didn't mind it. I don't think anyone minded it at first. It became a problem when Steve Kerr started benching him and DNPing him, and the results were losses. You know, like, the results did not translate to success. So Joe Lacob basically told Steve Kerr, I want these players played. Steve Kerr says, this is my team. I don't think they're ready to play. But look, your team 48 games in, it has a 500 record. So you can't sit here and say Steve Kerr is right in all this. Because again, 24-24, 27th defense in the NBA, that does not symbolize success. But at the same time, Joe Lacob should not be meddling with his team. I mean, the role of an owner should be hire people to make these decisions for you. And if he's got his son making huge decisions, if he's making huge decisions, I can't support that either. So this is just a mess. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I will say this before I go. I still think the Warriors could easily repeat as world champions. And when you look at the rest of the NBA landscape, who the hell is going to beat them? All right, who the hell is going to beat them? Everyone and their mother right now is just fawning over Nikola Jokic and how well he's doing. Find some success in the postseason first before you start hyping up as the next Larry Bird. Last I checked, Draymond Green still owns him. So, you know, I the Warriors could still easily repeat as world champions, but it should have been easier than this. No cap, stop what? That Draymond Green doesn't own him? Didn't the Warriors beat him in five games? Didn't Draymond Green guard him? Didn't Nikola Jokic say he was the toughest person who's guarded him ever? Why should I stop it? I think Nikola Jokic is overrated. He's a phenomenal player, but no one talks about his defensive liabilities ever. People just love to gloss over the fact that Baby Huey out there can't defend a fly. People blow by him all the time. So the Warriors can beat the Nuggets. I am confident of that. Anyone else in the West, I think the Warriors can beat them handily. So the Warriors are in a good position. And Gilbert, I just pretend the bubble never happened, because Gilbert Arbalo writes, conference finals in the bubble doesn't impress you. It does. But again, the bubble was weird. You didn't have teams playing on the road. And still, they only made it to the conference finals. They didn't make it to the finals. The Lakers slapped them silly. So, and yes, Dose Boy, I do agree that Draymond Green is Jokic's daddy. So there you go. We'll be back at this tonight. This is part one of two parts of Locked On Warriors. And with the night show, Kylan will join me. We'll do a post-game recap, and maybe she'll offer her suggestions as well and her opinions on everything going on with the Warriors. So we'll see you all, folks, later. Thanks for joining me, as always. And go Warriors tonight. They play the Raptors, and let's hope for another dub so the Warriors are back above 500. Until then, see you after the game very soon.